May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 2 things stand out for me. The disciples did not understand what he was saying to them. And the point Jesus seems to be making is, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I appreciated that point about the disciples not understanding. And it's kind of curious because the disciples don't understand. And then Jesus is going to go on in this passage to say, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And all of his listeners start arguing amongst themselves. And one of the things they say is, he has a demon. He's a demon. He's demon possessed. And I'm like, what's going on there? That sounds kind of weird. Like, why are they thinking, Jesus is saying, I'm the shepherd, I'm the sheep, I'm a gate. And what's going on that people don't understand him or they think he's demon-possessed? Because that all feels pretty innocuous. And we've come, it's been very domesticated for us. Like, there's nothing edgy about this text. But they thought it was edgy. So why should this text be edgy? And I appreciated that because, honestly, this is the fourth Sunday of Easter. Every fourth Sunday of Easter, all the texts that are chosen have to do with sheep and shepherds. So they call this Good Shepherd Sunday. I don't like Good Shepherd Sunday because I don't know anything about sheep. I don't hang out with sheep. I don't care for sheep. I like to eat lamb, quite honestly. It's one of my favorite foods. And I've never been a shepherd, and sheep are supposed to be dumb, all right? I get that. I've seen them from afar, and yeah, they look pretty dumb. Like, I'm just not interested in sheep. So the metaphor fails for me, right? I mean, I know in the Christian tradition, you've got Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders and the story about the shepherd that goes off and finds the one sheep that's run away and leaves the 99, and there's all this talk about shepherds and sheeps that I just don't get. And part of it is because it feels to me like it's kind of, yeah, the good shepherd takes care of the sheep and leads it to the green pastures and leads it beside still waters and gets it all fat so that he can eat it, right? This does not end well. Typically, it does not end well for the sheep. And so it's a problematic metaphor, I felt, right? And I don't want to be disrespectful to the metaphor, but it's just been problematic for me. And so I was like, I'd rather avoid it. I tried to get somebody else to preach today, but that didn't work. So I tried to do some research and wrestling with these things, and came across Ezekiel 34. And I realized that Ezekiel agrees with me. So this is Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You've not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness, you have ruled them. Keeps going, right? And later says, thus says the Lord, I am against the shepherds. No longer will the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths. So apparently, I was encouraged to learn that, this metaphor, I knew that the Bible had used the notion of shepherd as the king of Israel and God is seen as a shepherd, but there's an acknowledgement that actually not all shepherds are altruistic. I mean, some shepherds actually are in it for themselves. And I was curious to learn that, I mean, even during this week, I thought that metaphor was limited to Israel, but it was a common metaphor throughout the Mediterranean of the time for all political leadership. So in Greek and Roman sources, you have them using the metaphor of the shepherd for their leaders of Israel. So Caesar of the empire is also a shepherd. And what does Caesar do? Like, Caesar protects boundaries, keeps order. I mean, ostensibly, Caesar is there to protect the sheep. And yet, the reality in the Roman Empire is that because of the heavy taxation, I mean, people were kept in poverty. They were food insecure. Like, the sheep were not being led to green pastures, right? And so, and Jesus, in this particular passage, so it's political authorities can misuse their authority. It's religious authorities can misuse their power, you know? I once lived in Oakland, California for a season, and a friend of mine, and we lived just down the street from a church. And I noticed that one day outside, when we first moved in, I noticed that there was a green Jaguar, you know, car sitting out in front of the church. And the next week, there was a Rolls Royce sitting out in front of the church. And then there was a blue Jaguar sitting out in the front of the church. And then there was a Mercedes sitting out in front of the church. And there were at least seven different very expensive cars that would make their appearance in the rotation sitting out in front of the church. And these were all the pastor's cars. And so my friend and I were like, well, let's go check that church out and see what happens. And so we went, and there were three different offerings that Sunday, one of which everybody was required to get up and go to the altar and put money in the offering plate and then go sit back down. That's what happened. And the history of Christianity is rife with examples. It's not just Christianity. It's lots of religious systems where, you know, the shepherd is preying upon the sheep. So it happens in religion. It happens in politics. If you talk to many African-American voters, they're disillusioned with the Democratic Party because they feel like the Democratic Party has, you know, used them and used their votes without actually really delivering. Right? It can happen no matter what your political party. Tucker Carlson this week was just like, I regret things I've said in the past, support I've given in the past, you know. Beware of those political forces or religious forces that want to exploit you. Right? It's about listening and trusting the voice that loves you. It's about listening to and trusting the power that actually does want to see you live and give you life and have you live abundantly, which is part of what Jesus is trying to do here. And so it's curious to me that if we kept reading in John here, that next verse, which we're going to read next year, we don't read it this year, they save it, they divide it up. So next year, Good Shepherd Sunday, this is what we're going to read. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So the hired hand runs because the wolf might kill him. The hired hand doesn't want to die for the sheep. The good shepherd apparently is willing to die for the sheep. That's crazy. It's crazy. I had a friend who, I know somebody who raises chickens. And they had a chicken that was born disabled. Like, this chicken couldn't, it would get up and walk, and then it would tumble and it would fall, and it would get up and walk and it would tumble and it would fall, and it was disfigured. And this person loves chickens. And this person wanted to preserve its life, and so this person prepared a special diet for it that was actually relatively expensive and kept it alive just for its own sake. And part of me is like, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And part of me is like, that is astonishingly, deeply, profoundly spiritual. Right? That you would guard and protect a life that deeply. All things considered, last week had this article or this segment on farm sanctuaries. It's 40 years, apparently April 17th was Farm Sanctuary Day. And there's been 40 years of farm sanctuaries. And what it is it's people who are concerned about agro-business and the effects of agro-business and how our meat is mass-produced and raised. And they recognize that there's something inhuman about what happens there. right? Specifically in that, I mean, there are farmers who care for their animals who, I mean, do actually have very humane practices, but, you know, when it gets to a certain scale, it's not about the welfare of the animal anymore, it's about mass producing meat. And so people of good ethical conscience kind of stepped in and started rescuing some of these animals. And, you know, talked about this goat that now is, he was rescued, and this goat has illnesses and sick and needs veterinary services, and it's 12 years old, and they're committed to letting it live its life. And that is either crazy or it's profoundly wise. That helps me understand how this passage in John ends up, because at the end of this, it's after Jesus talks about being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I'm like, what, you mean the sheep don't exist for you, but you exist for the sheep? Like, the sheep isn't going to die but for you to feed you, but you actually are going to die for its benefit? That's a radical statement. And thus, verse 19 of chapter 10, again the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him? Now we get how edgy this is, right? I wrestled this week, like, should I be a vegetarian? Like, do I really do take life seriously and the sanctity of life seriously? Do I take my own life that seriously? Right? Do I take the lives of other people? I mean, forget the animals. I mean, not, don't forget the animals, but I mean, sometimes maybe it's easier with animals. We get it with our pets. I think with pets, we get it because we have that limbic emotional connection with our pets and we love our pets. And by extension, you extend that to, and sometimes it's easier to love our pets than to love each other, curiously. And so, yeah, what does it mean to trust in these things, to trust this voice that does lead us by still waters, right? The Psalm 23, this passage of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me to green pastures. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. Like that metaphor of protection, this is a shepherd we can trust. And what's always troubled me is then the next verse is, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Like, all of a sudden I go from being a sheep to sitting at a table and dining at a table. And it feels like mixed metaphors. And then I thought this week, oh, actually the psalm is saying that he leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul. And then rather than preparing me for the feast, rather than me being what's on the menu for the feast, or rather than the sheep, rather than lamb or mutton being on the menu, the lamb and the mutton, or the sheep actually get to eat at the table rather than being dinner themselves. That's radical. So the point, I think, and the reason why Jesus is playing with this metaphor, and the reason why I think he's subverting this metaphor in a really profound way that upset the people who were listening to it, is because he wanted to get them to get something about the nature of God. He wanted them to get something about the nature of the divine, that actually the divine is not your enemy. That the divine actually does intend good to you. And that the divine wants to preserve your life and give you life abundantly. It doesn't want to compromise it or take it away or impinge upon your freedom. The divine actually wants to give you real freedom. And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I give my life to you so that you can live. Amen.